Wowie, wow. We've got a new hot sauce for you.
It's so delicious.
It's spicy.
It's spicier for sure.
Spicier. It's called Harvest Moon, made with ghost peppers, American persimmons,
and spice bush berry.
It's going to be great. We also have t-shirts available. Brand new t-shirts.
The best t-shirts, I think.
Baseball tees.
Scrumpers United.
If you've collected apples, if you've collected fruit, you're
welcome
a scrumper.
Welcome to the club.
Welcome to a club. You're a scrumper. So check out our merch store, wildedibleworldpod.myshopify.com. Wowie, wow! Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wild Edible World Podcast. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Michael. I'm really excited that for our guest today.
And my name is Steve. I'm equally excited for the _wild_dryad.
Shane, so nice to have you on the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I feel like you gave a really big introduction. I was like,
We kept it mild for this one, honestly. We didn't want to inflate your ego too much.
Luckily, your social media speaks for itself, my friend.
Indeed.
I don't really know much about you. I checked out your page for a little bit. I liked a few things. You're probably like, who's this dude that's liking like five things in a row? And then I looked at it again just a little bit before I came here, but we'll get into all that. It's all wonderful. You're doing a hell of a job. Welcome.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been a great journey going through and foraging and sharing it with people.
Yeah, it's really cool community. I really have like enjoyed a lot of us have been foraging for a while, but I feel like a lot of us are also breaking through into the community in 2023 too, like really getting a chance to meet a lot of people and network and like just learn from a lot of people too. I'm really glad that you've welcomed me into your circle, and we're really happy to have you here. We were really struggling to not break the ice while we were setting up, because I was struggling a little bit with our equipment here, because,
staring at the tape.
Not being antisocial.
Everything for the podcast.
Yeah. But so you did mention something about like some sumac fermentation going on. What are you working with right now?
So we have a little stand of sumac that we've had pop up, I think, the last 5-6 years, and we have been having cones for a little bit. We tried it last year, and we just had it like as a tea or a drink, and then this year I'm trying to get into some fermenting. It has not been going the best.
Yeah, it can be kind of tough.
I find it is. You think that it's just like, oh, you can just put some sugar and stuff in a bottle and then let it do its own thing. But usually whenever I try to make wine, I make vinegar. I'm like,
yay, sumac vinegar.
You always end up getting something else. But then you learn of doing it too. So I think hopefully we have like a mild like sumac soda or wine.
Okay.
Excellent. Will be the end product.
Nice.
No mold this time. We have eliminated the mold factor.
Yeah, there's a couple tried and true recipes that's like, but it is, you're right, a balance of just like getting the right sugars, the right acids, and just kind of playing with those.
Have you messed with fermentation before at all, or was this kind of like doing stuff like this, like the sodas, the fermented wild things, is that kind of you getting your foot wet?
This is the first time fermenting anything.
Yeah, so that's a big thing.
Well, okay, like foraging stuff, probably like last year I tried making wine with the grapes that were coming up, but this year, if you all know, like the grapes have been really like not the best this season. They've tasted like bell peppers.
Yes, yeah, I find a lot of them do. I only was able to find like a couple patches that tasted pretty good.
Yeah, I think they were way better last year.
Yeah.
Last year I made like all sorts of jelly and shit.
Yeah.
But brewing alcohol can be challenging, man. Michael, I know Michael's brewed before. I haven't brewed personally, but I have friends that have. And like normally fermentation, like the first thing I did was like a sauerkraut or something. That's
way easier. Oh, sure. Yeah. It's just like you couldn't add too much salt to sauerkraut. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is kudos
Yeah.
Starting out with something like that. That's like just immediately trying to dunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah. And some of the people that I've learned from will tell you that, like, well, you know, you stir your beverage, you know, your concoction in one direction to open up the energy, and then you stir it. You weren't stirring it in the right directions, Shane. So cool. So you grab some sumac. Do you think you could tell us some, like, what was your favorite thing you think you picked this year?
This is my first year, and this is my first year trying pawpaws.
Yeah, you got some?
I did end up getting some.
How'd you get some? Did you find some or buy some?
I had a friend who foraged some. They had them, like, were able to get me some.
Guys, friends are the best.
It's been hard to find them. Trees I found have just been bare. So, thankfully, I had a little help this year with that
one. Excellent. Yeah, all you needed is a little help. We all need a little help. I've never found pawpaw in the wild. I've only ever found it in cultivated areas. I did a huge U-pick last year, and that wasn't even in state. You know, I had to go to Ohio, across the Mississippi, to Red Fern Farm, small plug. Really great place. I got like a ton of chestnuts and pawpaws from there. But I cannot find pawpaws here in the Chicago area. Just growing. People grow them, and I've seen those, and I know people that collect them. But have you had any wild luck, no. Steve?
I'm in the same boat.
It's hard.
And you know what? I find like flowering trees, and I'm like, hell yes,
you're right.
And they never fruit. They just don't.
No, you'd see something. There would be something on the ground, you know.
But I do have friends that have trees on their property, so I'm fortunate for that. I get tons, and by tons, I mean tens.
Tons.
Yeah. Tons of pounds every year through pals.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it. What do you think it tastes like? Pawpaw.
I think it's like banana, mango-y.
Yeah, that's my...
Like, it's definitely said to like a tropical fruit.
Yeah.
But I would read stuff about it, and it was like people say like it's overly sweet, or I'm like, I gotta try it for myself.
That's crazy.
Then I try when I'm like, okay, yeah, this is like the sweetest thing I've ever had. Like, one or two is enough.
Oh, yeah. No, it's...
Yeah, definitely don't want to eat
like, I'm... Yeah.
It's true. I can't eat very many either. I wouldn't say it's too sweet, but I guess I don't disagree, honestly. That's so
There's
true.
There's like a thickness to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's like eating a lot of peanut butter.
Right. No, it's so full. You're right. Yeah.
It is. No, that,
full
that's
body.
A great way to put it. I don't like sweet things. I don't think it's overly sweet, but I do think that it's a lot. It's like, I don't know, maybe it's just like a sensory thing, you know, because it is like, I've never eaten a mango and banana at the same time. And maybe your brain's like, what are you doing, man?
Mm-hmm.
Banana, you look ridiculous right now eating a mango and banana at the same time.
Yeah.
What's the coolest thing you did with it? Or did you just like,
We just try them for the first time. I think if we try to like try stuff and then we'll start making stuff. Next year, I've seen like zoo like banana bread like recipes or like doing cookies and stuff. So
yeah,
I'm definitely gonna try. Oh,
I made a pawpaw cheesecake.
Did that go well? Yeah, we never talked about that.
So we're talking about it now. Yeah, so good. I have like a quart size Ziploc bag of pawpaw right now that I'm in a cheesecake. It's so good. Like New York style pawpaw cheesecake.
This sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I've seen a whole bunch of like gelatos or ice cream. Like, I just haven't tried all the...
It's perfect for that, right?
Yeah, well, people say you can't cook it.
Can't cook it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People... So some people say that it makes it taste bad. So to cite one person, Gabrielle, a chaotic forager, mushroom auntie... She claims that cooking it or heating it up in any degree makes it taste like dog vomit, which I don't agree with, but I am not eating the same pawpaws that she is, right? So that's the other thing, is that these have been trait selected over years and years in some areas and not in other areas. So the pawpaw I'm eating tastes completely different from the pawpaws she's eating, which are from the wild. She's finding wild pawpaws. I'm eating cultivated pawpaws. So there's also probably some, you know, compound differences between those two as well that would like make me not sick whenever I heat my pawpaws up, but would make her sick if she heated hers up.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that is a common thing you hear from a lot of foragers, is that you can't cook pawpaws.
I'm glad I didn't hear that before I made a cheesecake from my pawpaw.
Right? But it's probably from a tree that is of a specific, like, variety.
Either that, or maybe it's the fact that I'm taking cream cheese. It's probably, like, 60% cream cheese, 40% pawpaw fruit mixture, and, like, all the other things that go into cheesecake. So maybe it's that it's being diluted, so it's not, I'm not just putting straight pawpaw in onto, like, a tart crust.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but I made pawpaw jam, and that was exclusively just pawpaw pulp and then cooked down with spice bush berries in it. So, I mean, it was amazing. I won, like, runner-up at the Midwest Wild Harvest Festival.
Yeah.
Because, and I wasn't, like, they were hesitant to mention me at all because it wasn't complicated enough. It was just pawpaw, spice bush, sugar, and lemon, and they were like, it technically needs to be more than that to compete, but they were just so shocked at how good it was that I got honorable mention. So,
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, that flies in the face a little bit of that whole pawpaw thing, but, you know, who knows? I kind of have, like, an iron stomach when it comes to those things, I guess.
Outstand.
Well, see, okay, so here's some of the crazy things my brain has gone down. I'm sorry to, like, hijack this episode, but whenever you think about Urushiol oil, people can have such a visceral reaction to poison ivy that they can't eat mangoes anymore, because mangoes have that on in the skin. Some people will get that intolerance for the compound from eating skin on mangoes, and since they're related,
you should change your Instagram handle to skin on mangoes. I don't know. I just
that's the name of my that's the name of our album that we're gonna come out with. So. But yeah, it's since they're related, I wonder if there's something to do with, like, there's some sort of urushiol compound, and if I have no reaction to poison ivy, so that kind of follows the pattern of, like, well, I wouldn't get sick if there was some sort of poison ivy related thing that is going on, because mango, and this is the American mango, it's they're like distantly related. But okay, that was my TED talk.
Well,
it's just a lot of ideas. There's nothing to it, you know. I'm just thinking about
it. But I do think there is something to that. So I think, like, genetics plays a role too.
Yeah,
like, if, you know, how different people react to it.
Sure.
Like, I don't know. Does it also think I'm affected by exposure too? I think the amount of times you're exposed to urushiol, I'm not too.
No, that's the theory, is that, like, the more times you're exposed to it, the more sensitive you are to it.
Man, I got it real bad when I was, like, 17. I was, like, rubbing all upon this tree that had a vine, and it was real bad. Like, my face was swollen, my throat was real bad. Like,
see, and I've done that, and I'm fine.
Awful, but, like, I haven't had any poison since.
You're pretty. You usually wear, like, pants and stuff whenever you're out hiking too, though. So, but have you ever, like, and you not obviously this. Never intentionally would have exposed yourself. So that would have been a dumb thing. Do you react with poison ivy?
I don't know. I mean, I've graced it, like, when I was, like, going mushroom picking earlier this year. And there was, like, a bunch of vines in that area, and I, like, me and my sister, like, definitely brushed by some, but I don't think we had a reaction to it. I think we knew. I was like, okay, we're nearby the campground. We can go, like, wash our hands.
Yeah.
Like, and then
that's good.
We just didn't have an issue with it. So I don't know. Okay. I just haven't had enough encounters with it. I may be.
Okay. But, okay. All right, let's get the show a little bit back on track here. But kind of along those lines, like, I remember seeing earlier this year you picked a bunch of chicken of the woods. Like, you found a lot this year, right?
Oh, this has been a very abundant year for you.
Yeah. So, what can you talk about some of the stuff you did with that, the mushrooms?
Oh, yeah. So, I think on, first of all, how was you all season with it, too? Was it a good season?
Oh,
I think the other people around that it's been a pretty good season.
It was. It was good. It was wet enough and it was hot enough. And, you know, they were popping out from spring through fall. So I got more than enough of them, but I still have more than enough from last year. So I wasn't really hunting them too much.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But this, so it was a good season for, we found it, I think on four or five different areas, but there was so much we probably just we grabbed like 10% of what was there and still have stuff frozen now.
Yeah. Wow. Nice.
Okay. It's like, that's enough.
Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes you got to hold yourself back, man. Because it's easy to be like, hey, who doesn't want 60 pounds of chicken of the woods? But then who wants 60 pounds?
Well, there, that's 60 pounds of processing to do too. Because if you're picking quickly and grabbing the whole fan, like typically you're not eating the whole fan. You're cutting off the tender parts. It's just a lot of work for 60. I mean, 60 pounds is a beautiful amount though. And then, but then you can dry it all, right? I just powder it.
Like we found, like we like found 60 pounds. We didn't harvest that amount.
Hell yeah! Oh my, okay, sorry.
That's a misconception. I hope that's not.
Like the car is like weighed down in the back.
Oh, it was probably like it probably reasonably had like maybe like 10 pounds that we found.
Right on.
Literally from every location, we grabbed like a very small portion of where it was. It was so abundant this year. We could just out of all the places we went to, it like accumulated to that like amount. If it was.
So what'd you do, like fry it?
So we fried it, we battered it, and thankfully we found both varieties too. We found the sulfurous one and the white rice. We're like, okay.
Cincinnatus in the house. Dude, I love Cincinnatus.
The people were like, they taste different. So we had a chance to cook them both the same way and then try them and see the difference.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I do agree. The yellow one is, the sulfurous one I think is, you get, usually I find it more, like more amounts of it when you do find it, but I don't know, I find it more mushroomy than the... And the white bread.
Wow, you know, I never really thought about it. It's quantity that you find it in. And I think I agree with you that the yellow appears in a lot bigger quantities and the whites are usually a little bit
smaller. I've only ever found them in rosettes.
Yeah. Kind of grown out the ground, actually. I find them growing out of like buried wood or buried root systems or whatever. So I have also only found them in like rosettes.
So I wonder if that's like and I don't know a factor involved with it too, but it's really interesting like seeing it this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful mushroom. It's one of my favorites.
I didn't even answer. So we cooked it in pasta, so we had a grilled variety, we battered it into nuggets, we made like chicken sandwiches, we froze some, had like the really tough parts we boiled and added them to soup. And like the medium tender parts, like we made them as nuggets and sandwiches. The really soft tender parts we use like grilled chicken, like a grilled meat, because it was really soft. But, and like the medium tenderness we use to batter and fry because they kind of get soggier when you fry them. So kind of it balances out and makes them like...
Still get some bite to it. Nice. That sounds good.
Good juice.
and then we dehydrated some too.
Of course.
Those are great to add to ramen. I love doing that.
Nice. Plus, yeah, I would always, I would put on popcorn or like deviled eggs and stuff like that. I don't know why I never thought of like putting it in my ramen.
Oh,
it's kind of like
hooks it up.
Boosting it. Yeah.
So good.
So what else?
First wild foraged item.
Yeah, what's your first?
You recall.
I have a couple answers to this.
Okay.
So like. The first thing I ever tried, I remember, I think I was maybe in sixth or fifth grade, and my friend, mom had taught him how to, like, suck the honey off, like, red clover. So that was the first thing. I remember the teacher being like, what are you doing? You don't know, that could be poisonous. And, like, freaking out about it.
Typical mom behavior. Yep.
But the thing that, like, with me doing the with foraging, I think the first thing was sumac. Yeah, I think it was sumac. It was the first thing that, like, I've tried, like, with picking off, like, oh, I've identified this. I know what this is.
Yeah, for sure.
Try making a tea. Then the second thing was juneberries. I tried.
Oh, wow, nice. Yeah. It took me a full, like, several years to try my first juneberries because I felt like I just kept looking in the wrong places, you know? And then, yeah, that's, I love juneberries. We're big juneberry boys.
We are.
Wowie, wow. We've got a new hot sauce for you.
It's so delicious.
It's spicy.
It's spicier for sure.
Spicier. It's called Harvest Moon, made with ghost peppers, American persimmons,
and Spicebush Berry.
It's going to be great. We also have t-shirts available. Brand new t-shirts.
The best t-shirts, I think.
Baseball tees.
Scrumpers United.
If you've collected apples, if you've collected fruit, you're
welcome
a scrumper.
Welcome to the club.
Welcome to a club. You're a scrumper. So check out our merch store, wildedibleworldpod.myshopify.com. Wowie, wow.
Sigh.
What's wrong, buddy?
Well, I just realized this mushroom supplement I bought isn't actually made with mushrooms. It's made with something called myceliated grain?
Myceliated grain?
Oh, no!
I'm sorry to tell you, buddy, but myceliated grain is a sure sign of a poor quality mushroom supplement.
Well, dang. I wanted mushrooms, not brown rice. What should I do?
Well, you should support a small batch producer from right here in the Midwest, Keweenaw Apothecary.
Keweenaw Apothecary? Tell me more.
Keweenaw Apothecary specializes in high-quality mushroom extracts from Michigan, and they always use real mushrooms, never, never, never myceliated grain.
That sounds like exactly what I've been looking for. Where can I order?
Well, you can find them at keweenawapothecary.etsy.com. That's K-E-W-E-E-N-A-W apothecary.etsy.com. Be sure to read their many excellent reviews.
Thanks, buddy. I don't want no low-quality mushroom products from a factory. I want Keweenaw Apothecary.
Wowie, wow!
So does your family have any history in foraging? Do you guys do anything like that? Did you learn any of this from your family? Or I think you've said, you've told me you were self-taught, actually, right?
Yeah.
To answer my own question, sorry.
I'd say about, like, I'm like, it's like 70% self-taught, and
yeah,
the other 30% is through, like, mentorships or, like, doing, like meeting different people, because people usually bounce ideas off.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've learned a lot from the internet and, like, just the Instagram community and the other, like, really the much more popular creators than me. Like, I learned tons from previously mentioned Alexis or and well, Alexis, yes, and Gabrielle. Mm-hmm. So, women in foraging. Hell yeah. But, yeah, boss bitches. Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. That's positive bitches, right? Yeah, we're cool with that. Yeah, three guys in a room talking to me. Anyway, so sumac and Juneberries. What did you do with Juneberries this year?
Ate too much and got sick. they're the stand of them, like that. They were in front of this library, and I'm like, and, you know, you can tell, like, there was nothing free. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to grab a bunch of these.
Yeah.
The goal was to make a jam. That did not happen. I remember I was eating them on the ride back. I had, like, I think some family about to go to, and I'm like, I didn't eat anything that day, and I was like, okay, yeah, that's enough.
Yeah.
But I've just had them by themselves. It's not ruined Juneberries for me.
Okay, good.
Still enjoy them. They're
good.
Great.
Good.
Had the jam that you gave.
Oh, yeah. I gave you some Juneberry jam, right? Perfect.
It was amazing. I've had it on toast. It was great.
I love it. I think it's one of the best things made into jam. And it's as simple as I make any other recipe where it's just like the fruit, sugar, lemon, bam. And those seeds in there, just like. Yes.
Like little cherry bombs. Like amaretto.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So good.
To reference earlier too, like I don't think my family ever really had anything with like foraging on their own. Like I know like my mom does like did some herbalism stuff with like, you know,
yeah,
like a Kaufman guide for like doing like making medicinal teas.
Everyone kind of had like, you know, like everyone's grandmother or something always had some weird shit, you know, like what is it, the pineapple weed? My grandma was huge on that stuff for tea.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I knew it as a kid. And then, you know, when you start to get into that, into boarding and into outdoor stuff, then you're like, oh, well, she wasn't full of shit. That's awesome.
Huh. Cool. My, the only stories I heard from my grandparents about foraging and stuff weren't plants. It was stories of squirrel sandwiches and like how my grandfather would always like, I don't know, something about how he would lie about, or he would always ask for more squirrel sandwiches. And like, I don't know, it's a silly story. And I was like,
you already had two squirrel sandwiches for your lunch today. How many squirrel sandwiches can this boy eat?
Yeah. So, but you could eat a lot of squirrel sandwiches with this Harvest Moon hot sauce. Like to have a bottle.
Oh, nice.
Do you like spicy stuff?
I do like spicy stuff.
Okay, cool. This stuff is really hot. What?
Oh, okay. I was going to make the hot ones joke.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Let's take us open it up, take a swig of it, and we'll keep asking you questions.
So what forest stuff we have in here?
So, Steve, where'd your persimmons come from?
They came from Frankfort, Illinois.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, persimmons and spice bush. I collected the spice bush in Champaign, Illinois, I think. So, not too close to here, but it's made by a hot sauce producer in St. Charles, which is right around the corner from here. And they source all their peppers from a nearby farm, too.
So this is a persimmons hot sauce.
Persimmon and spice bush ghost pepper.
You know, I have had spice bush. I have never had persimmon.
Oh, shoot. You know what? I have a fridge full of persimmons right now, actually. Shout out Jacob, Jakob the Barbarian on Instagram. He handed me a big Tupperware thing of persimmons the other day. Perfect. I totally forgot that was in the fridge till you just said it.
What do they taste like? I haven't been able to find them this season.
They're like caramely with like a little bit of
citrusy, kind of like a hint of citrus.
Some kind of like fall seasoning, like an undescribable like cinnamoniness in there. Cinnamoniness in there.
We were right there. You could have just let it slide.
Whoop. We would have let it slide. Okay. No, they're delicious. They're truly, truly a gem. And if you can find them still on the tree, I mean, you don't have to wait for them to fall on the tree, because some of them will still be on the tree in December or January, and they are chef's kiss. They are so, so good. But you pretty much have to be, it's one of those things where either you gotta look at the ground and see all the smashed ones and then hope you can find one that's not smashed, or start recognizing the tree. Because they are very tall, and you have to be like looking into the sky to notice any persimmons. I've never really found any persimmons not on a farm that were in reach. So All the wild trees, you basically like they're thin, and then they just boom, they shoot straight up into the sky. They're so tall. How about you?
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
I've been fortunate to find some that are a little bit shorter, or maybe like a branch broke and it's kind of a bunch of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
That's where this came from, actually. Tree that I always go to, last few years anyway, one of the branches had broke, and so there was just like this bouquet of persimmon.
It's great.
Yeah, you should try it.
You should try that. Oh, like right?
Yeah. Oh, we think so.
it's really not that.
It's not that.
If you like spicy stuff, it's not that. But it is delicious.
Yeah, it's sweet on the front, spicy on the back, nice and zippy.
You took the whole bottle.
Yeah. If you do that, I'll give you like $20. I don't know. I feel like I owe you something if you do that.
Oh, man. I'm pretty excited, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure we've had a live third-person taste test. We've tasted it ourselves. But... So while he's preparing that, I'll say that you can purchase this hot sauce for yourself for a special discounted price during the new year for $13, I think.
Yeah, that's good.
Got a nice little sweetness, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, I've got some socks here. You can wipe your hands on.
No.
You good? Oh, okay. No sock? All right.
Not plan that one out, but you're good.
Well, and it's thinner than you'd think. So our last sauce was a little bit thicker, and this one is thin. It's kind of runny, but it's very good in my opinion.
It's so good.
I think they did a great job. We need to sell more of it. I want it out of my apartment. So, Shane, do you have any future plans for this year? Like, do you have any goals, specific areas of plants that you want to focus on? Like, every year, my New Year's resolution is, like, get my trees down better. Because that's always kind of, like, a lacking area for me, I feel like. How about you?
I'm looking I wrote down everything that I like believe in terms of like foraging, like, oh, well, someone said that this is the case. So how true is, like, I write down all of my like preconceived notions about like what I understand about it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do research on these points.
Cool.
And kind of go from there. But the really big thing I'm excited for, I am going to start transforming our backyard into a permaculture little garden.
Perfect.
So hopefully do some wild growing and incorporate different things and kind of go into more of the growing aspect of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. Cultivation is definitely needed. You know, we've, as humans, lived with these plants, and they've lived with us for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And that relationship, it is about growing together. It's not just like, I like to laugh a lot about the laziness or the passiveness of foraging, because it's like, I don't have to do any input except go out there and collect these plants.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that a lot of these plants are here and are what they are because of the relationship that's been developed between us all. It's good to hear that more people, and especially like, it's good to hear in the Chicago area, especially that you're doing the good work, got the good plan at least.
Well, also having like a really hands-off approach to doing it. I think mm-hmm. like sometimes people like try to like put too much of a hand in the garden.
100%.
And really just trying to recreate what we're seeing when we go out and forage too, and having more spaces like that.
Nice.
Like there's seeds and like that you can just throw out, like, you know, different onions or like that you can just throw out in a yard and just have
without
have to worry about like specifically cultivating.
Yeah, going back every year.
Yeah, and like and having
something, yeah.
Like for some stuff, you can just get established. Like, all right.
Yeah, the idea of going back and like replanting things every year—it just—it kind of blows my mind, honestly. Like especially some superficial, like certain foods. I guess, excuse me. I definitely understand like tomatoes, but yeah. But it's like the idea of just growing something that comes back every year. It was like, how has that not made more sense to more people by now?
Yeah.
I don't really get that.
Plant an apple tree. What's going on?
What? What are you doing? What are we all doing? Mowing the lawn? What?
Yeah.
What's a lawn? So you have a yard that you can, like, contribute to and stuff.
Yeah,
that's nice.
It's like my family's place.
So cool.
Like,
my parents are letting me do this, too.
Oh.
I don't have a yard, but I do have 6 hazelnuts at my parents' place.
That's
6 hazelnuts and like a couple other, a kiwi tree. I don't know. We'll see. Cold hardy kiwi. We'll see if that survives the winter. But yeah, good luck.
Oh, yeah.
Any other New Year's resolutions for foraging?
I want to get better at like kind of like the mushroom end of stuff, because that's not really my focus on it. Like, I do feel like I focus more on like plants and botany and like the physiology of plants. Whereas, like, I kind of want to know more about mushrooms and what, outside of like just the really easy identifiable ones. I don't know.
Yeah.
Cool. I couldn't tell you.
No, sure.
Yeah.
Are you into nuts yet? Like, have you gotten into, because that's like a whole nother word. That's like where I'm at right now.
Like foraging?
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah.
Hazelnuts.
All the different hickory nut species, all the different oaks. Yeah.
Huge world, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nuts are highly valuable. And even like something that's been on my mind a lot lately with the honey locust and stuff, people are telling me, or what I was reading about the seeds and how much sugar and protein and carbohydrates and stuff that they contain, it's like, these were a freaking crop. Like, it's like, I only need to see so much data before it's like, duh. Yeah, I kind of want to learn more about that. I think I'm about to miss my windows because peak season's right now, and I'm only curious.
I drew that was loaded today, and I thought it.
Okay, cool. Maybe I still do have some time. Because, I mean, it is, and again, it's like, people think there's nothing to forage out there in winter, and there's still so much to see, so much to learn. Yeah, so much to appreciate it, so much delicious.
I did end up reading that book, Trees of Power, by Akiva Silver, that Sean Rao.
Oh, yeah.
And it's incredible. If you're looking for a good how to explanation of trees and how they can be profitable and how someone can earn a living like Akiva Silver does from these things, it's, man, it's such a good book.
Huh. So,
thank you, Sean.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, and other Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, shout out to Chicago Mushroom Club too. So we'll be hanging around. I'll be hanging around with them. I know I've seen you connect with them. Super cool mushroom club in the Chicago proper area.
Some cool designs going on. I'm really excited for some of their stuff they have going up for next season.
Yeah, absolutely. Their plans and their ambitions are big and very cool, and we admire their take on things for sure. So
definitely.
Yeah.
I got one more thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
you're an illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at your I was looking up your links. So those like journals that that are available. You did the art for those?
Yes.
Man, those are fucking beautiful.
I actually haven't seen this. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're so cool. Painted, most of them, right?
They're all painted, yeah.
Yeah.
I came with acrylic.
Super cool, like what, 9x7 or mm-hmm. something like that, 100-page journals. And I'm just an idiot for journals anyway, man. Like, ooh, something I can write shit down in.
Okay.
So that's also super cool looking. Yeah, those are so
sweet. So you illustrated like the front and the back, the covers?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Moving into the space to do more illustrating too. I haven't shared too much of it on here, I think, because it takes like a good amount of time to do as well. But also, I kind of do want to do more stuff like that too and share, kind of like, you know, what I'm doing behind the scenes. Like, I do think like it's something I kind of do for me, and it happens to blend in into.
Yes,
you should absolutely share it because it's awesome, man. And
yeah,
get some of your foraging stuff going. Share it on your social media. You obviously have a couple followers. I think it's cool. I think it's cool.
Definitely. So what else you got going on? If you're, you dig illustration, I know you do some like woodworking too.
Mm-hmm.
Can you like list your 1,000 hobbies?
Woodworking, pencil?
Yeah, dude, carves like walking sticks.
I see that, the morel sticks, right?
Yeah.
Very cool.
I started doing that. I did the first one last year, and I think when you guys saw the one, I think one of the first ones I did when we first.
When we went on a walk.
Yeah.
That was the one you were using?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And then someone was like, oh, have you tried selling? So I was like, no, I didn't think about that. But so now it's like, it is a hobby. Like, it's still a passion project.
That's all.
But it just takes so long to do.
Oh, yes.
Like,
right.
So, like, I started, carving and still working on trying to get, like, a little stuff. But hopefully I'm going to do some, like, bears and stuff for, like, those, like, little, like, smaller markets.
For sure.
You know, I kind of like the, like, personable, like, interaction of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, meeting new people, making the connections like that.
Instead of, like, selling online, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and then the packaging and the shipping for those things.
That's
nuts.
Yeah. So it's, like, it's those things that play into a part of it, too. I really like the market feel of it.
Yeah, like, absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, I've been thinking about trying to get us into some market or, like, small fairs or whatever. Just, like, I mean, we have hot sauce to sell. We'll be coming out with more hot sauce next year. We're trying to do like a full four seasons and stuff. So hopefully we'll see it at one of those like fairs or anything. You trying to make it to any of these wild food gatherings that we got going on?
I've been wanting. Maybe I'm just out of the loop with like some of those. I just don't know where they're happening. Like sometimes unless like someone will will reach. I'm not familiar with what's going on.
There's not that many in Chicago. There's not really anything that happens in Chicago.
Ohio's like kicking ass with that stuff.
Ohio is very native plant focused. They've got a lot of cool stuff. Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota too. Yeah, it's like everywhere but here. And yeah, it's kind of a little bit of dissonance to me because Chicago, this swampy area of the Great Lakes used to be one of the most populated and peak spots for foraging and wild plant diversity. It still is to this day. So, hopefully maybe something will come about that will have a Chicago or Illinois area wild food gathering or something.
I think
maybe. So, Shane, it's been really, really awesome to talk with you. I think we'll probably draw this to a close unless you have anything else you want to... Yeah, definitely. That's cool. Yeah, definitely check out Shane's links and everything that he's got on his Instagram. You're up to all sorts of stuff. And it seems like you're just getting your feet out on the internet too. So, it's been really a pleasure to meet you. I'm really excited to see where you're going and all the cool stuff that you continue to do. Cause you're already doing it.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man.
And the hot sauce is amazing. Thank you again.
Of course. No problem. Happy to have you have it. Let us know what you use it on at least, you cook with it. Yeah, definitely. Follow Shane at the_wild_dryad dryad, right? It's a Y, not an I. It's a Y, not a, that's a catchphrase now. So, all right. Love you guys.
Skins on mangoes.
Skins on mangoes.